And so we are going to turn our attention for our speaker, Jerry, today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, I'm Jerry. I'm an alcoholic, nicotine addict, compulsive overeater, use shopping to deal with emotions. I've done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor and a loving God. I've made my amends, and I'm doing my best to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. So, as I opened up the book to read the portion that we would be talking about today, the first thing that came to me was at the very, it was 68.1, which is prior to this part that we read, where we talk about self-reliance did not solve our fear problem or any other. So self-reliance played a big role in my relationship with those of the opposite sex. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. The other thing that came to my mind was I have learned through this program how evident my codependent, people-pleasing behaviors show up in these relationships. Mm-hmm. They show up in friendships, really close friendships as well, but they really show up here. And for me, as a female, that had, I now understand, also a lot to do with my relationship with my father and the observance of my the relationship my mother and father had with each other. So we go to 68.2, and we have at this stage done our fear inventory, and we've committed ourselves to trusting God rather than our finite selves. So we're entering this step, this portion of the writing, with a lot of courage, and trusting God. This was a challenging part of the work for me to do. And now, actually, you know, God does this every single time. Every time I speak, it's because I needed to hear something. So I learned some new things as I was getting ready and preparing, which all came about from doing a really thorough fifth step. And in 68.4, one of the first things that I keyed in on was, what is the purpose of sex in my life? See if I can. Where was it? I may not have the right notation, but I think that's a really, that question stopped me short as I was preparing. I'd never thought about that before, really. What is the purpose of sexual relations in my life? And thinking about it, what is my higher power's thought or purpose for the creation of the sexual relationship? And I'm sure if we just sat and meditated on that, we would come up with individual personal answers. One of the things that came to me was intimacy. And in truth, it's probably only in the man I'm married to now that I have been the most open, because intimacy means and says in to me see. And so as that means I've shared with them some of the things that I might share at a meeting. See, I've always kept that relationship over here. You weren't going to know me that deep. My only person who did were my very, very best girlfriends. And that was it. So, but what I've experienced from that level of honesty is a freedom and joy in just being alive. It has made me feel a lot better. In one occasion, when I was sharing with my husband, he said, forgive the swearing, but he said, oh shit, now you've made me depressed. Now I'm depressed. And so I kind of had a laugh. I thought, hey, listen, you have no idea. but it was, at least we'd connected. We had really connected. So that's a good place to start. What is the purpose of this particular relationship in my life? And we go on to 69.0, and it says, we all have sex problems, even those of us who think that we don't. And so I looked up the word problem, and one of the definitions was denoting or relating to people whose behavior causes difficulty to themselves or others. So in relationship, in that definition, in my marriages, one of the things that my husbands have had a habit of doing is commenting on other women's physical physique, particularly their boobs. And I have had a feeling of not being worthy or not being perfect since grade school when it comes to external bodily appearance. And I kept silent about it with these men. So in one case, it was usually, it was about boobs. In the other case, it's been about weight. And my husband is in incredibly great physique. I'm very blessed. But I have lost some ground in that category. So I can feel the shame coming on. Now, what's different as I was preparing, because I went back and studied some on, refreshed my memory on codependency, is my part of the problem here. Because it says we look at, sure, there's a problem on the other person may not be doing something that's appropriate, but the conduct that we're looking at is our own. And so when I look at my own conduct here, what I see is that I kept silent on any, I kept silent on any time I felt my partner had said something that hurt my feelings or bothered me. I kept silent if my partner did something in a gathering with other people that I was embarrassed by. So as I study and look up the codependency, one of the big things, one of the key indicators is not speaking our truth. We can identify that there are some aspects of ourselves where we are, I was so focused on my spouse's happiness and just being in a good mood that I didn't say anything. And as I got stronger in AA before I came to BBSS, I did, and I learned more about codependency, I did learn to have conversations. The behavior never ceased. And as time went on, God revealed to me that I was married to a sex addict and that it was his will that I divorce. There was really no way that there was no reconciliation possible. And so I learned a great deal about myself and how blinded I was to reality because I was focused on keeping things nice and calm. And that came from watching my parents. So my mother was a very strong personality, very critical. And my father seemed a very weak personality. And the thing that most impacted me was the scenario where at the dinner table where you weren't allowed to leave, my mother would harass my dad across the table while we have to sit here. And that usually ended up with him standing up, walking out, and walking across the farm, exploding. And you could tell the explosives had to be coming out of his mouth. So even as I was, I think in college, we were alone one time. My father and I said, tried to have a conversation about him standing up for himself. And I pretty much got put in my spot, which was the right thing, you know, as I've learned in this program, NOMB, it was none of my business. But what I saw as I then, and I say those things because they help to, they play out in my, the inventory work from the very time where we start making the list in 69.1. So we make a list and we start with, the first boys on my list were in grade school, probably was fifth grade at most, and went on through the rest of my life. And we look at where we've been. We've got 9 questions that we're going to look at. One of the revelations for me as I was preparing was that this model that played out, which was my grade school relationships were with 2 young boys younger than myself. I felt very comfortable with them. There were 2 good-looking, smart, intelligent boys that were my equal that I adored. I grew up in a small school environment where I was we came from a group of people called Low Germans, and everybody else in school came from the group called High Germans. And so I didn't fit in. So I, from the very beginning, wasn't interacting with people of an equal level. And I didn't really realize that because the other guys, because I had no sexual relationship with them, so they weren't on my list. I didn't really realize that until I was doing the preparation here. And how that plays out in all of the various relationships that I've had. So it's not just about the sexual act. which is definitely a very key and important part in my mind. We really didn't talk about it a lot in my inventory, but my parents never touched physically. I just mentioned the really bad environment. There was no laughter in the house ever. And my bedroom was across the hall from theirs. And so in grade school, I would hear the bedrock. And the only thing I could think of was how awful that was. So I was disconnected from a positive perception about the sexual involvement with two people. So physical, external issues that obviously come up in the act of sex, the not having a good model to follow. And so I think I patterned myself probably more after my father, or no, my mother, in many of my relationships. So there are 9 questions, and they are, in 69.1, where had we been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where had we been at fault? What should we have done instead? And for me, the key thing that I've learned is dishonesty. See, I thought dishonesty was when you told a lie. So I thought being silent was, you know, you couldn't touch me. You know, I was doing the right thing, right? Because that's what my mother would do. The silent look, the glare, that would have melted ice. So I now see that when we look at that, that's all part of how codependency really played out in my relationships, and that in the sexual relationship, we're looking for things like boundaries. We're looking for the ability to communicate honestly and openly. We're looking for the ability to negotiate and compromise on our needs and wants along with the other parties. And what I saw was, you know, as I was driving here, I was thinking, why the blank are we not raised and asked to write our ideal? I mean, the only thing that was going on in my mind was, if you asked me out, I would go out, period. That was it. And when I finally did the BBSS work, and I wrote my ideal, and I would have, what, in my 60s, the man is Boaz in the Bible. And he's a very upstanding man, high in integrity, very, very good and common sense, all wonderful, wonderful traits. That is indeed the man I've married. I wonder what I would have done if I would have had an ideal. I wonder what I would have done if I would have had at least written something down. If somebody would have said to me, well, what kind of person would you like to date? Never did that enter my mind. So the portion of this that all of this has been very, very helpful to me, and I'm still growing, and now I'm growing in having the courage to be open and honest. But this concept of the ideal, if I can think of anything that for young people, even like in AA, when we're in the AA rooms, how many young people there are, and when we do, no, in 20-some years in AA, no one said to me, what's your ideal? Because, and the reason to me that's so important is I've now come to believe way down deep inside, I have worth. Once I really grasp and believe that, I can take that next step, even timidly, and say, write my ideal of what's the partner that God would have me be with. So I'll end on that today. Thank you. Thank you.